Forget the Elite Four. The most dangerous enemy in the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon series is an empty stomach and a lack of big apples.
Nothing humbles a legendary god like fainting because they skipped lunch.
Exactly. Now, these games weren't exactly for every Pokemaniac out there, just those really hungry for some additional adventures.
True, but they were exciting for the four of us. Sit back, everyone, and prepare for our very fruitful discussion.
Pokemon are descending from everywhere. We have to do something.
Oh, we have a plan.
That's awesome. What are we going to
Explore, duh. We'll deep dive into the dungeon in the sky.
do? Isn't the sky normally up?
That's what makes us explorers, thinking outside the box.
Accidentally picking up an item in a dungeon shop in these games without enough gold is essentially a death sentence.
That's right. Kecleon doesn't believe in store credit. He believes in immediate justice.
He really charges a high price for mistakes.
Yeah, his customer service is absolutely striking.
All right, everyone. We are the proud, the strong, the rescue team.
Woohoo!
All right, we are going to do everything we can in this dungeon.
Definitely.
Definitely.
And we're going to go all day long.
Nope. You have me for 250 steps. Hard stop. Beyond that, I'm gonna take us home because I need supper.
No, we have to go all day long.
Hey, be lucky we settled on 250. Elena has tickets to the Pokemon Beauty Contest that she's not passing up to stay for longer.
Listen, I waited longer on Ticketmaster to get those tickets than I did for Taylor Swift Eras Tour tickets. You've got 250 steps, Bob, not a step further.
Oh, fine, fine, fine. I guess I'll take what I can get.
Silly and they're goofy, mysterious and spoofy. Kenko makes them loopy, the Backtrack family. Their podcast is a blast, talking games from the past. They break down every class, the Backtrack family.
Beat. Defeat. Complete.
They trash things they abhor, and praise things they adore. They never are a bore. The Backtrack Family.
Boost Brother! Snake! Snake!
Hello and welcome to RPG Backtrack, your regular deep dive into your favorite RPGs. We are a production of RPGamer.com, where you use such fine podcasts like RPG Cast, your weekly RPG news show, Q&A Quest, your weekly RPG feedback show, and us, your bi-weekly RPG nostalgia show. I'm your host, Kelly Ryan, and with me, as always, my podcast partner in crime, the Mudkiff to my Bayleaf, Mr. Matt Mason.
Yep, I'm just a water type, slogged down playing in the
I just picked two starters at random,
mud.
which is how this game goes, and
that's how I play this series is whoever you get picked at, that's what it is.
yeah, I prefer the games later in this series when they just say, ah, screw the quiz, pick one. Because I'm just gonna restart the game until I get Skitty or Meowth.
If it's not a cat, you ain't playing with that.
Damn straight. Joining me tonight, a pair of Pokemon obsessed guests. We've got Cassandra
Hello, everybody.
and Elena.
Hi.
And we are talking a slightly different Pokemon tonight, kicking off Mystery Dungeon May with Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. Probably my favorite of the Pokemon side series that we can talk about on RP Gamer, because I don't think they would let us do a Pokemon Snap show.
Listen, the stuff that we've covered on this show.
True.
I'm thinking about the DOSBox games I've talked about at some point, or pre-DOSBox. There's been a lot. It's been a lot.
I mean, in the sequel, you do level up the levels, so there is experience.
Oh, well, there you go.
But, and also, Pokopia could very well be my other favorite side series. But no, we're talking Mystery Dungeon, combining Pokemon and the classic Mystery Dungeon formula. We figured there were enough. Well, one, we wanted a full Poke Bay, or rather Mystery Dungeon Bay, because we've had Poke Bays in the past. And we figured
we had Monster Collecting May.
Right.
We did not go specifically Poke May.
Right. But it's kind of a combination of both Poke Bay and Mystery Dungeon.
It is. It is. We're monster collecting in a mysterious dungeon.
And not
obliterated
stuffing them in
all
vaults.
Over the place.
And what was it you said, Elena, pre-show? You're actually digging the games that don't involve trainers?
Yeah, I think especially after playing Pokopia as well recently, I've come to like the realization that perhaps I just really like the Pokemon games that don't have trainers in them or directly have trainers in them. Because this was also one of my favorite spin-off series as well. And yeah, and Pokopia also fits in that too now.
Oh, we'll talk about that in 2 years. That'll be fun.
It will be. Well, let's take a brief musical interlude and we'll just dive right in. And welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are talking Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, a whole timeline of games. The first two released in 2005, Pokemon Red Rescue Team for the Game Boy Advance and Pokemon Blue Rescue Team for the Nintendo DS. I played Blue Rescue Team because I had a brand new DS at the time, and I was looking for anything to play on it. Though I think it came out like a year or two later on the DS in English, because I got my original. No, I guess it was 2005. Sorry, my mental timeline's all messed up.
Well, at least according to Wikipedia, they came out in 2006 and
yes,
outside of Japan.
Okay, I just copied the timeline that Wikipedia had, since we're talking six different games tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was kind of interesting that they did a dual release, but on two entirely different systems.
Yeah, that was
very odd, especially since they have minimal differences, from what I can tell. Just a feud from Pokemon.
What other games did that? I off the top of my head, I think of Dragon Quest XI. But other than that, like, geez,
it's hard to think of.
I mean, now.
Like that.
I guess
say,
there was a Twilight Princess and Breath of the Wild. That was Zelda, that is. Those weren't different versions,
true.
But those were,
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously everything comes out on multi-platform these days, but, like, we're talking multi-generational at that point, you're right.
And Twilight Princess does count because the Wii version was mirrored.
Right,
so
right.
It was not the exact same game.
Right, that's right.
But, yeah, The original Mystery Dungeon, you have a little quiz, and you start out the game as a human turned into a Pokemon, and you meet up with a partner Pokemon. Do you pick the partner?
You can pick your
yes.
partner out of any of the Pokemon, but yeah,
okay.
But you either had to follow the quiz, or you could also go online. It's pretty easy to find, like, a follow, you know, answer these questions exactly if you want to get the specific Pokemon. Some were even gender locked, apparently.
Yeah, because I started the game and then learned that Skitty was an available Pokemon and then restarted the game so that they could be Skitty.
Skitty was one of the ones that was gender locked later.
And by the way, this game got a remake in 2000. Pokemon Mystery Dungeon D Rescue
You
Team
mean
DX?
Yes,
twenty
Rescue
twenty?
Team DX.
Sorry, 2020. Did anybody play that remake?
Yes,
I did not.
I really like it actually. So it's still the same sort of plot for the first Red and Blue Rescue Team, but they've added a lot of quality of life things from what I remember. I think I've played about 70 hours of it or so. It's really nostalgic.
Did they include the quiz,
I
or
think they
could you just?
did. I think they did, but I started the file a while ago, like back around probably 2020. So I can't 100% remember if there was the quiz, but I would have redone it anyway, I think, to get what Pokemon I would have wanted back then.
Because I think I booted up the demo and it still had the quiz, but it said, do you want your results or do you want to just pick? And I would have done I just I'll just pick because Meowth is in that one.
My very first playthrough, I just kind of went along with the quiz and got a Pikachu. Second time, I played earlier this month just to refresh my memory on the game and did follow an online guide how to get Torchic because I want at least one of the fire starters.
But I find it kind of interesting because I had played Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon before this, and they pretty much carry over everything you know and love about Pokemon into the Mystery Dungeon format. The four moves, each move having fixed PP, your healing items being berries, though you also had to like a classic Mystery Dungeon game, you had to manage your stamina with food. You had the classic grid-based design. I appreciated that Kletchion of all Pokemon was the shopkeeper.
The really, really difficult one.
Yeah, if you tried to steal something, it was the only way you could recruit a Kecleon, but they were apparently really difficult. I never tried it.
Oh, I never tried. I was too scared to fight him. I'm like,
I know.
I'll pay.
Because I believe that killing the sh or trying to steal from the shopkeeper is a long-standing tradition in the Mystery Dungeon series.
Oh yeah. I think Kecleon was like level 99 or something like that, and if you defeat him, he just respawned.
He said it is the only way to recruit a Kecleon, but it's a low chance too, I think. So.
Yeah, and that was the most interesting thing was that Pokemon will just decide to join your team after you defeat them, and it's just c kind of a random chance, and I don't even
Yes.
remember if there were ways to affect it.
No, there isn't, but you do have to. I actually didn't know this the first time I played the game. So to recruit Pokemon, you need to purchase like friend areas from the Wigglytuff in town. You purchase these areas, and then the Pokemon that correspond to these areas, there's like plains and forests and like a volcano area, that sort of thing. And I didn't know that, so I was just like going through the game with only my, with my Pikachu and my partner, which I think I chose a Charmander, wondering why I couldn't recruit any other Pokemon. And then they changed that, I believe, for the sequels, so you didn't have to like purchase areas to recruit them. My second playthrough, I did do that and finally actually recruited other Pokemon.
I'm wondering if it wasn't super well explained, perhaps, or maybe, yeah, because I feel like I did the same thing in the first, in like Red Rescue Team. I know in the later games, there are special, like, I think traits and things like that that can affect how easy it is to recruit Pokemon. Like in the Rescue Team DX, there's like the squad up trait, which makes Pokemon more friendlier or something like that, or Pokemon are more likely to join your team. So if you have a Pokemon with that trait in your party in the dungeon, it helps to, I guess, recruit Pokemon. But you still need those areas, like those habitats, so that they can actually leave the dungeon with you and join those areas. And I think with the recruiting system as well, I think your Pokemon that you were playing as had to be the one to last hit the Pokemon, right? For
Yes,
them to
it
join you
has
as
to be
well.
your.
That was sometimes really frustrating. I don't know about you guys. I had, like I would be, setting up to take down this Pokemon to join, hopefully join us, and then someone else would get the last hit. And it'd be frustrating.
One thing that kind of annoys me that I think it's series-wise, I don't know about the last few games. Like, if you want to evolve your Pokemon, it has to be in the post game.
Yes. Yeah, I think they locked
And
it for some of the
yeah,
games.
any of them, and you can't recruit any of the evolved Pokemon in the dungeons either.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
At least for these first two games, anyway. Maybe they changed that in DX. I know they changed that for later games, Explorers and such.
So, getting into the story, but basically, you start the game as a human that turned into a Pokemon. And then later find out that there was a story about a human touching a Ninetales tail and getting cursed, and the Gardevoir took on the human's curse, and something else about it became a rumor that you were the Pokemon that abandoned the Gardevoir.
So a Gengar accuses you of being that human, and that's why the world is in turmoil, because you've got earthquakes keep happening, the mystery dungeons are opening up, and Pokemon are turning crazy.
Yeah, because that's right. The Gengar was kind of Gengar's team was kind of the bad guy team.
They're called Team Meanie for
Team Meanie.
Seriously.
And kind of the mid game where you're trying to absolve yourself of this accusation, and just how kind of dire the game comes off. Like, it says that your Pokemon walked into their feet hurt through the desert, but they were determined to prove your innocence. And I just remember being like, wow, this story is kind of dire for what is ostensibly a kid's game.
At least a bit more than you'd expect. Yeah. It's still a pretty basic story. Like, you know, the disasters are happening, you're here to save it. Oh no, you might actually be the curse. Actually, no, you aren't. You've been absolved.
There's a prophecy.
Now you've got to, like, get Rayquaza to stop the meteor. That's somehow the planet itself is, like, sending the meteor and causing these problems or something.
Yeah.
And, like, you're going, like, at the very end, you, like, are going to go back, but then, like, something chooses, like, lets you stay so you can keep playing the post game and recruit the legendaries and such.
Did anyone else get emotional with these Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games? I got quite emotional with them. I don't know if it was the soundtrack or the story, but I remember feeling quite teary, like, back in the day, as opposed to, I think the mainline games found them.
Yeah,
quite
the first
emotional.
One got me, definitely.
Yeah.
I think I was more prepared for it the second time around, but definitely that first one, I was like, geez, wow, this is... Normally, I just feel... collecting. That's all. I'm like, whatever. Yeah. I got a rival. Whoop-de-doo.
Like, the stories are certainly more involved than, like, the mainline games at the time. I'll give it that much. Like, I played them both as an adult, and after playing, like, Black and White, so the stories really didn't affect me that much. Maybe if I was a target age, because for whatever reason, I didn't play, like, Blue Rescue Team or Explorers when they first came out, so it didn't get a chance, because... maybe not the first game, but I know the second game really affected a lot of people. At least a sizable fandom, anyway.
Yeah, I just remember really feeling like the emphasis on how rough your journey is trying to clear your name. I just remember feeling like that seemed a lot more dour than your average mainline Pokemon game.
Yeah, and I guess the implication that the Pokemon that are trying to track you down, they're not just going to, like, tar and feather you. They're going to possibly do something worse.
Yeah. And, like, even Black and White is as bleak as that story kind of, or as dark as that story kind of got in playing N's Abuse, it didn't feel that dark. And then it kind of ramped up a little bit in the next three games.
Well, two of them are just like Red and Blue. They're like separate versions. And then Sky is the yellow, the platinum, the third version.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a sense one game, but not really, but also three games.
Yeah. But real quick, before we move on to the, next three, in air quotes, an interesting little feature of these two on DS and GBA was the ability to link each other if you still had a DS with a GBA slot, because I believe that you could use it to rescue a team that fell in battle.
Yes.
Yep.
I never utilized that feature just because I didn't have the DS or a GBA copy at the time.
No, I didn't get either. Both of, I did not get both.
Yeah, I only got Blue Rescue Team.
So all of us played it on the DS.
I did.
Elena,
I
did
did.
you?
I played Red, so I think that was on the Game Boy.
That was the Game
Yeah, that
Boy,
was the
yeah.
GBA
That
one.
was the Game Boy,
Yeah, so
yep.
I think I played it on that. Yeah.
I will admit I've been curious about wanting to get whatever the premium version of Nintendo Online is, just to have
Oh.
access to the GBA games because that's on there.
Oh, really?
Yes, right. Yeah, Red Rescue Team is on the Nintendo Classics. And
I
I
haven't.
think Blue Rescue Team was on the Wii U Virtual Console, at least until that shut down.
Yeah. I haven't quite bit yet, mainly because I don't think the Pokemon GameCube games are on there yet, and that was kind of going to be my inciting incident, but we shall see.
Well, I
Anyway.
know this game was the exciting talking about the incident. This was the game I got DS Lite for. I never had an OG Nintendo DS. I stayed with GBA for a long time in emulation, and you know, I was PS2ing galore back then. And yeah, this the GBA, what is it, the DS Lite came out in June, and then this game came out in September. I think it was only the second game I ever pre-ordered at a GameStop.
Yeah, and it's funny because I originally didn't plan on getting a DS because I very rarely buy new systems the year they come out, and I was really iffy on the system. And that year for Christmas, my parents surprised me with one, and they were like, "Oh, you're a good." I was graduating from college, so it was weird that they said, "Well, you're a good kid, and we heard about this on TV, and we thought you might like one." And that was like awesome, but there wasn't shit to play that first 6 months. I played the herbs and mostly used it as a GBA, portable GBA player until well, Dragon Song, but I don't talk about that game. So I'll say that my first real game was Dawn of Sorrow, but I remember this game being pretty early on in my little DS career too. So I have fond memories. But moving on, because we've got a handful of games to get through. We've got Explorers of Time and Darkness coming out in 2007, and then in 2009, Explorers of the Sky, which, like we said, is the quote unquote third game. The only difference I remember was Luxray or Chinx being a starter or a possible starter in the
Yes, that was one of, what else did they add? They,
Ryoli,
oh yeah, Riolu, and then
Lampi.
I think they took out like Munchlax and maybe something else for, although they were available as partner Pokemon.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think Vulpix also
Yeah,
was
yes,
added
yes,
in.
Vulpix was also in Explorers of Sky, and Sky also added some extra like sort of playable episodes that like went into the backstory of some of the other Pokemon, or like NPC Pokemon, like Wigglytuff and Bidoof.
I remember being very, very good at the mini game where you had to recognize the Pokemon's feet.
Right, that one.
But otherwise, I played this recently. I say recently, it was a couple of years ago. I don't remember the specific story beats other than you turn into a Pokemon and Dusknoir ends up being a bastard.
Yeah, I can remember this a little bit more, and I, yeah, like I said, this is the one that like a lot of fans like. But basically, yeah, you wake up on a beach found by your partner. You've been reincarnated as a Pokemon, and all your memories, I seemingly like you have amnesia, although you do remember being human. You and your partner go and decide to join the Wigglytuff's Guild. Wigglytuff is this very powerful explorer, and at first you just do odd jobs for them, but you hear stories about some Pokemon, a Grovyle, keeps stealing the time gears, which are these special gears that control the flow of time. You don't know why he's doing that, and eventually do meet up with a Dusknoir that wants to help put a stop to this Grovyle. And then they find out actually Dusknoir is evil and wants the time gears in order to stop time itself, because without the time gears need to be returned to the temporal tower where Dialga sits because something has corrupted Dialga and it's going crazy, and you need the time gears to stop that. And of course, Grovyle is the one who's came from the future. It gets a little convoluted in order to collect the time gears, take it back to the Portal Tower and put them in the right place in order to stop the tower from collapsing and make Dialga sane again.
And it turns out that you were Grovyle's trainer.
Yes, yes. So that had some interesting implications. Like, were there Pokemon in that world? Were there humans in that world before? Because it's implied that this Pokemon-only world has never had humans. Or were you maybe isekai'd to the future at first and then realize there's nothing you can do there, so you need to go back in time to set things right? It's never fully explained, as far as I know.
Are we Sam Beckett?
Your partner has had this little strange rock that they hold this whole time. It turns out that the rock is a relic fragment that you need to put on a special the rainbow something or other. It enables you to access the hidden land where the temporal tower is, and then before you can get there, Dust Noir launches a sneak attack. You do a fight it, and despite defeating it, Dust Noir tries to drag you back to the future, but Grovyle goes there with him and seemingly disappears. You go to the Hidden Lands, climb the Temporal Tower, and defeat Dialga in order to put the time gears back and set everything right. And that is the post-game, although before the post-game, you do find out that your character actually, if you set time, like if you change time, you will be erased from the timeline. I assume you'll just go back to wherever, you'll just go back to wherever your real world is. But either way, you're not going to be in that Pokemon world anymore, and you've got to say goodbye to your friends. And so, but he keeps that, keep that to yourself because you don't want to upset your friend. And then at the end of the game, you start slowly disappearing into light. Your partner is really distraught over it. And then Dialga, wanting to thank you all for, saving it, uses its time manipulation powers to poof you back into that reality. And then all seems well, but in the post-game, you find out that there's still some trouble afoot, and you start having dreams of Cresselia telling you the reason there's still trouble is because you're a time anomaly now, and you better make yourself disappear, which is a nice way of saying something else, in order to set the timeline right again. You later find out that that's not actually Cresselia, but, what's it called? Darkrai. As it turns out, this is in the post-game, so if you only laid up to the credits, you're never going to know this. So Darkrai, as it turns out, was the mastermind behind the whole plot to stop time and corrupt Dialga. It was the one that, started to make the tower crumble, make Dialga go crazy, and it's also the one that tried to stop you and Grovyle from the future going back in the past, and gave you amnesia. So you do a bunch of different quests. You eventually uncover Darkrai, you defeat Darkrai, and apparently give it convenient amnesia so you can recruit Darkrai later into your party if you want. Yeah, just it's an amnesia to make you an ally, I guess. And then that's the end of that. And you get to stay in there because, hey, why not? You get to be a Pokemon.
Yeah, I remember feeling like the story in that game had a lot higher stakes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is a really good Saturday morning cartoon. And I could see why a child playing this would really capture their imagination. Mm-hmm. Like, these games launched 1,000 webcomics. I'm only half joking.
I didn't know that.
There's a bunch of webcomics, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon webcomics out there. There's even a few that adapt the story, adding their own little flair and whatnot. These games are super popular, and I can see why. I do prefer the mainline games but it's still pretty good, and this is a more involved story.
Mm-hmm.
And I did quite enjoy my time with it. And I'm actually now just going through the post-game just because I kind of I did some of it and then for some reason stopped and just you know what, this time I'll actually face Darkrai. Mm. Let me at least see how the story finally ends instead of reading about it.
Yeah, I started up this game multiple times because, I had a physical copy of, I think, Sky. And then later on, got through a couple dungeons and then learned that Shinx was playable in the third game. And I could have sworn that I had the third game in my collection, and I didn't. And then come to find out, the third game is a little bit of a collector's item.
Yeah, I managed to get a copy for a reasonable price many years ago, and I'm glad I did.
I'd have to look at my eBay history. I didn't pay a whole lot for my copy, but it was more than retail at the time.
Yeah, it was below retail for me, at least. So it was like $30, something like that. Maybe that was retail.
And I was glad I did, because I couldn't get past just how good this game was. I was like, oh my god, just the blend of story and gameplay. And at the time that it came out, it was after, I want to say, Platinum, Diamond, and Pearl.
Yeah, yes. This was the fourth generation Mystery Dungeon games. Like, we got them once a generation for a little bit up until Super Mystery Dungeon.
Mm-hmm. And just the step up in storytelling, you know, still having that kind of dire story, though it didn't seem as tragically written as the
I mean, I don't know, like you know, saving the world despite the fact you may be erased from it is kind of, you know, heart-rending. And then there's the whole post-game story of you know, the villain's trying to get you to off yourself in order to stop interfering with its plans.
You know, I wonder.
This one does.
Pretty dark.
I wonder if it wasn't as edgy to me as was when I was in my 20s, I guess.
True.
Because I was in my 20s when I played that one, and well into my 40s playing this one, because I played it as recently as a couple of years ago, not when it came out. So can't believe some of these games are almost 20 years old now.
Mm-hmm. That being said, though, I would love if they did make a remake of The Explorers.
I would actually check
that out. I kind of skipped over DX just because I don't usually play remakes that often, but I would like to see how they might spiff up a remake of these games, specifically Sky. Like, they could just just a remake of Sky, really. We don't need Time and Darkness.
Yeah, I agree.
True. How well did the DX version sell, I wonder?
I don't think too well, since they still haven't followed up with that.
I was gonna say that. I kind of feel that too. You know, that's what determines if they keep going.
I think one of the interesting things is the fact that back in the day, you didn't have a lot of choice of what to play on the DS. I mean, there was a lot of stuff, but on the DS and 3DS, you weren't really competing with console games. Having the remake on the Switch, you're competing with not only the mainline Pokemon games, but all sorts of other stuff. So that's probably why not many people bought it.
Maybe.
You know what? Wow. So, you know, believe this, I guess it's got, these are from different Wikipedia ones. So apparently the first ones sold about 6 million. The next three sold a little over 6 million. And then it was a hard drop off. Gates to Infinity, 1.3, Super Mystery Dungeon, 1.7.
Wow.
DX,
I did a little
two.
Better.
Yeah.
Okay. Two's respectable.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's less than the GBA and DS game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're probably looking at that like, oh, geez, you know. Mm. How much did like Arceus sell? I think that was at least another zero on those.
And Pokopia recently did gangbusters.
Mm. Oh, and I mean, look at the one from last year.
Z to A.
And that was, thanks to the leaks, we know that was made for like 10 cents, the whole thing. And they sold, you know, 8-10 million of that, like probably for the number they're putting in and getting out.
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, the Pokemon spinoffs don't sell anywhere near as well as the mainline games.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pokopia, I think, was like the fastest selling spinoff Pokemon game.
Legends
ever.
Is 12.3. So, I mean, when you're selling, you know, looking at their budget for that, which was what, not even 20, 30 million or something like that. I know it was low double digits. And then they're selling 12 million units of that. Yeah, why would they be making Mystery Dungeon anymore, sadly.
Were there other, I'm curious as to whether there were other sort of really big Mystery Dungeon games around, I guess, the 2015, 2016 time onwards, that might have also affected the sales of these games.
Well, there was a few mainline Shiren the Wanderers out.
I mean, the United States, you got all of two Dragon Quest ones that we'll talk about. Oh, no, sorry, one Dragon Quest one. But that was long before. That was back on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah. And not only that, roguelikes are a lot more popular now than
Right.
they were in 2009. And unfortunately, because they're more popular, people are probably more burned out about them. So they might not want to go back to the OG. Just a theory. Because I dropped off at Gates to Infinity. I bought that one. I tried to get into it, and it just didn't grab me. And that was 2012 when my 3DS was my favorite system. Gates to Infinity, I found interesting that it just lets you pick who you wanted.
That takes away the fun a little bit.
A little bit, because
Yeah,
I
because I
ended.
heard, yeah, I heard that there's just fewer selectable Pokemon in that one, though.
Yeah, because it was the black and white starters and Pikachu and Axew, and I ended up picking Axew just because unfortunately the black and white starters are not my favorites.
The little dragon Axew, the
Yeah,
the
the one with the
little
little,
green
yeah,
guy.
its teeth sticking out of its side of its mouth.
And I like that one just because it's cute. But Gates to Infinity had an interesting feature where it could generate dungeons at random if you pointed your DS cam or 3DS camera at circular objects.
Interesting. Never tried
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, I
I
never.
recall that. Wow. That yeah. That's a memory I did
That
pop back in. I
Yeah,
didn't play around with it much, but it was something different. It was like, oh, let's try this.
it must not have been a very popular feature because I don't think I ever got to the point where I had even unlocked it. And I can't imagine it generated any real interesting dungeons. Just something else for you to do if you don't want to regrind through story dungeons, I guess. So, I don't even know what the story is for this one.
I know the last boss is like the embodiment of despair or something, so that's a bit more interesting than just a Pokemon.
Yeah.
I think it was a very convoluted story. I don't remember it super well. I think it did maybe start off a little bit slow, which is why maybe it was hard to get a little bit hard to get into. But essentially for this one, so you have a strange you start off having a strange dream about a Muna being chased by a Hydreigon, and then you meet your partner Pokemon, and then they want to build like a paradise place for Pokemon. So you help them because you've got nothing better to do, I guess, while you're just, I guess, having these dreams while it's still happening. And then you go through and you help people in the area. I remember there was like this Dunsparce that wanted to be like the best adventurer or something like that. And they wanted to, I guess, be friends with this really popular Pokemon called Virizion. And Virizion was like this cool, like, because it's not a le it's a legendary, right? Or mythic.
Virizion is legendary.
It was like this really popular Pokemon that everyone was like, wow, super impressed, like just super in love with this Pokemon. And then this Dunsparce wanted to be friends with this Virizion, and was just rejected basically. Tried to give it like this crystal or something, and she was just like, no, not interested, I'm a lone adventurer and all this sort of stuff. So I think it's about there are some themes, I guess, about around that where she sort of, I guess, learns to trust other people, or trust other Pokemon, and like, make friends, I suppose. But yeah, there was something about like the bitter cold being, I guess, the big overall arching threat in that game. But yeah, it was a bit convoluted from what I remember. And I think it's the one that I spent the least amount of time in.
Yeah, I just skipped. I just never got around to getting these, and these being Gates to Infinity and Super Mystery Dungeon.
Yeah, I don't even think. Unfortunately, I don't even think I booted up Super Mystery Dungeon. I bought it because it was on sale on the eShop for under MSRP, and like one of the only games in, or one of the only Pokemon games I've ever bought exclusively digital up until that point.
Oh, it definitely was. But that was my only digital purchase. And yeah, I regretted it. I think I played it a couple hours one day, a few hours the next, and actually, no, I just double checked, didn't I? I had 12 hours on it. So I did play it for a while, but I feel like I
You tried.
didn't. Yeah. I think a lot of those were, pick it up, do a little bit, close it. I never really made
Do
significant progress.
I do think Gates to Infinity had a pretty cool like roster of Pokemon in the story though. Like they had, I guess, for me it was like underrated Pokemon, a Pokemon I didn't really think about a lot. So like Hydreigon, like Dunsparce, had like Haldeo as well. I guess Virizion, Pokemon that I guess I didn't really think too much about in the mainline series, and they brought into this one, which yeah, it was interesting to see their roles in the story.
I'm always amused at the characterization of the different Pokemon in these games because, Clachan being the shopkeeper or Persian being the banker.
Yes.
Kangaskhan's the what is it,
The
the
storage, the
store
bank.
vault,
Yeah, she
item
did the item
storage.
storage. Although it's there's a Dust Skull does the banking in the Explorer,
True.
at least Explorers of Sky. I don't I'm Maybe they changed it for some reason, but yeah.
And the dojo with I think Makuhita for at least one of them.
I know there's a Marowak skull on it, but I've never really used it, so I don't recall.
I was going to ask if anyone actually did any dojo training because I did not. I got
I
those
don't
tickets
know.
in by Pelipper in the mail, and I just did not touch them.
No, I remember doing the dojo.
Did you
I
do a
don't.
lot of the dojo?
I recall spending way too much time in the dojo,
Oh,
and
I
I
don't even
don't.
remember what that did.
It's not a
I
like a
think it's just,
huge.
I think you can like easily train lower level Pokemon if you like really set on getting this level Pokemon. If you could like take it there, so it's like easy training and easy level ups.
Oh,
Okay.
that would have been so much better than trying to take a Metapod into a dungeon. I understand now where I went wrong.
See, every Pokemon game I get, I'm like, I'm gonna collect them all. And up until the last couple, when my son's old enough to be able to trade here, I never have. I like back at 06 and 08, and when these, I never collected them all. But that was always my thought process going in. So doing those dojos, I was like, okay, I can do this. I did it too much. I burnt out, you know.
And see,
Training
I'm
too
a
hard in the
training too
dojo.
hard with the Caterpies and everything. I'm like, what am I
It
doing?
was
Like,
like
just
day every day.
play the freaking game.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I've never completed a Pokédex in any of these games. And yeah,
I'm none of the mystery dungeons. Heck no.
Oh no, that seems too tedious. Like I've been completing the Pokédex like fourth generation onward, but yeah, no, it seems far too tedious to do the mystery dungeon game with those low, like at least the games that don't let you like manipulate the chances for them to recruit them, and never mind like trying to get Kecleon or something else special.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've managed to complete it, and I think it's also like the living dex as well, so you had to have like Pikachu and Raichu for it to register, because I think if you evolved your Pikachu into a Raichu or something like that, you had to get another Pikachu because it didn't count anymore.
Oh,
Huh.
Yeah,
I did a living dex
at
in
least in the
ZA, and
later
that's the only
ones,
one I've ever done.
definitely I think more possible in ZA than the mystery dungeon games. So I guess no one did shiny hunting either in this game. Or did
Oh,
anyone
no.
actually
Even
manage to
no.
catch any
I wasn't
shinies?
even aware there were shiny Pokemon.
I wonder if it was maybe just the Rescue Team DX then. I don't know, because
Don't
there were
actually know.
definitely shiny Pokemon in that one. Like there was like, I remember like a shiny Lickitung or something like that, or Lickilicky. It was like yellow, so it definitely wasn't the normal colored
I
one.
believe there.
But I never had any luck recruiting them. Maybe they're not recruitable. I don't know.
Because technically, isn't the other Clutchion a shiny? Because there's two of them in the
Oh,
shop. Yeah, one's a
yeah.
purple Kecleon and one's a regular.
Yeah. So it's like there were shiny Pokemon existed in this series, but I don't, yeah.
Okay, so it
Must
looks
have
like
been
they
really
do. Yeah, they
hard.
do show up in DX, and there's a shiny Celebi as a main story character in the Explorer series.
Oh.
I don't think there's any way to recruit it, but so DX, there could be strong folks have a chance to be. I do think it might only be the Mystery Dungeon DX. I don't. Hold on, I found the rare. Okay, it looks like there might be in. Hold on, what is? Nope, that's something else. Strong foes. Can you find a shiny Pokemon? All right,
Yes,
this
that
is from
was Strong Foes.
2012. The shiny Celebi is part of the main story, but is not recruitable. The same shiny
Okay.
Celebi cameos in Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon can be rescued in Expedition. And okay, the WiiWare titles, there are shiny Pokemon.
Yeah, I did not know they were WiiWare titles
Oh, yeah.
until today.
Japan only. Right, so I have no idea. I never, I mean, maybe there are fan translations. I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. It's WiiWare, so it's not exactly available anymore.
They must not have done very well if they weren't translated.
Yes, most likely. And let's see. Gates to Infinity, a shiny Ho-Oh, can be fought at Eternal Ruins. Doesn't look like it could be, nope, can't be recruited. So, yeah, it's really only Miss Rescue Team DX. There's a couple story ones and the WiiWare titles, weirdly enough. But usually there aren't shiny Pokemon in these games.
So quite, yeah, even more elusive than normal by the
Yeah.
sounds of it.
And I remember when I used to listen to more video game podcasts, hearing Jeremy Parrish complain about this series, saying that it's the most dumbed down version of the Mystery Dungeons. And I mean, I don't necessarily think that's true because there are
I
some
don't think
pretty,
that's true. There,
yeah.
there's a lot more to this than a Dragon Quest ones, at least the first two Dragon Quest ones.
Especially having to manage it, you can only have what, a team of four, and that's just regular sized Pokemon.
Yeah, it's because if you have like a larger Pokemon, and I think like or a legendary or something, you can only carry maybe that one in your party.
And having to manage your team that are all AI controlled and have to manage hunger and inventory, it seemed like you were spending a lot more plates than just your average mystery dungeon.
Well, I mean, all the mystery dungeons, you've got hunger and inventory. But I feel like there was just, like, when you get back to the town, there's so much more there. This is also a little less roguelike than some of the other ones.
Yeah,
I mean,
because
I've heard,
you I heard they're referred to as rogue lights as opposed to like, since you don't like lose all your levels and such.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine younger children that are Pokemon fans would put up with losing all of your levels a la Azure Dreams.
In Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX, I think the party actually went up to more than four. It was like maybe eight or so. You have your
Oh,
three that you your
geez.
team that you bring in. Yeah, you have your three that you bring in, and I think you can recruit up to like five. So
That's true.
yeah, it gets pretty hectic, and you're trying to like, weave around the dungeon in like a single file like that. It does get pretty snake-like. Did anyone like ever use yellow strategies? Because I think there were tactics or other strategies that you could do, like split up and that sort of thing. Or did you just have everyone follow the
I had
main?
I
The
always used a
follow.
follow. I never played with that.
Yeah.
Oh, I split up plenty.
Oh, really?
It
How did
almost
that
never was a great idea.
Yeah, I
I
didn't
say
think
plenty,
it.
but it might have been like, four, five, six times, and like I was like, why am I doing this? Because then they would just step into a room and it would, oh my God.
Yes.
Yep.
Heaven forbid
Yeah, I
they
was
run into a
worried
monster
somebody.
house.
Yes, the monster houses. Oh my goodness. I have lots of trauma from monster houses. I can still hear like the theme that plays when they drop from the sky.
I learned very quickly to mitigate monster houses by basically getting in the doorway.
So you had like
Oh,
the
yeah. You could
single
just.
file. Yeah. That way they're not surrounding you.
Yeah, that would be at least a tactic I found for the first game was that if you got X-ray specs, if you see like a lot of items in one room, that room was probably a monster house.
Like four or five items, you yeah, probably
Yeah.
have to go around it unless the stairs are also in there, then you're in
Yeah,
trouble.
then you're out of luck. And I had the
Yeah.
misfortune of like this as soon as I got up the stairs, that entry room was a freaking monster house.
Think
Then you're just, oh, go ahead.
oh no, I was just gonna say, I think my strat was in Monster Houses was I think I had a Charmander that became a Charizard and learned Heat Wave. So that was a really, really good Monster House clearing room move. Because
Nice.
it would just like target everyone in the room. But, and I think from that, I learned in the future Mystery Dungeons, I'm like, oh, I should pick somebody that can learn Heat Wave just in case that it happens again. But otherwise, the orbs are pretty good too, usually. But you have to keep them in your inventory. So they do take up space. But some of them are very good at like just mitigating or just clearing out, or maybe just neutralizing half the room.
And are you guys like me where you're just kind of cruising along and then all of a sudden you're out of pee-pee and you're screwed?
Yeah.
Well, I always carry max elixirs
Hungry,
just for that.
pee-pee.
Yeah, although the at least in the post game of Explorer, they have like different traps that can get you because you can't. I mean, sure, there are orbs that could uncover them, but only if you're lucky enough to find one. And the worst one has to be like the grime trap. It turns
Yes.
your food items into like it makes them useless, and you ate them. It made you like it. I think it gave you some kind of status condition, or at least it didn't fill up your belly as well as it should. So if you kept stepping on it and you only brought like a few apples, you could be out of luck in that
Yeah,
dungeon.
grimy food. I think it was actually, yeah, called grimy food. And like sticky items as well. Like, yeah, I was stepping in
Sticky
traps
items.
all the time.
I remember being in forums and talking to people back in the day, and they're like, oh, well, don't you ever just like you walk around and attack every time? Because you could activate the trap, right? If you hit in front of you. Or was
That's a
that,
good start.
am I thinking Dragon Quest? Like, there was one of the
I never
games, like,
tried
you could
it.
always just like do a normal attack and it would show you if there's a trap in front of you or something.
We'll have to give that a try. See if that works. It's at
I
least a
don't know if there's in the
Pokemon.
po it, but I was like, oh my God, I am not doing that every step I take. These dungeons are
Yeah.
huge.
True.
No, I'm like hold the B button, zoom around.
Yep.
Oh,
That was
that's a
my way
good
to
way.
play.
Yeah, that's a good way to get like your partner Pokemon or other party members to like separate from you. Because I hate that when they just like if they lose sight of you, they'll start wandering off. That's super annoying. Just like I'm right here. Come on.
Yeah,
Or
you can
worse,
see me.
if they can go across a body of water.
Yeah. I hated the weather conditions though, sometimes like the hail and the sandstorm, and you just had to push through until you found the stairs.
Yeah, just like
Because they
if you wanted to look
usually didn't
for,
clear.
yeah, if you wanted to look for items, you just had to like, nope, not this floor. Just try to
Yeah,
go
or you
somewhere.
had requests in that floor and you had to find the Pokemon that was fainted or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rough.
Or the escort
Okay, so
missions.
this isn't Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. If you use a basic attack on an empty tile in front of you, it'll show you if there's a trap there. It doesn't trigger the trap. It just shows you it's there so you can avoid it. So if you want to walk, attack, walk, attack, walk, attack your entire time, you can do that. No, I remember that.
Pro
And
strats.
oh no, I remember people talk about that. I'm like, are you kidding me? I cannot. No, it's long enough. I'll live with the consequences. At least main story was never, ridiculously hard enough that I needed to resort to that.
True. I don't think you'll find traps until either the last dungeon or the post game in Explorers. Nothing.
Did Explorers also have like the client Pokemon as well? I can't remember. It's a Pokemon that you had to escort
And the
to
first
find
game had them.
certain
No,
Pokemon.
the rescue team had them too, and those are annoying because they're level one and they like
Yeah, I
new
was gonna say
can do them
actual
in.
babies.
Yep. I did one quest had a Scizor. It was level one, but at least it had decent enough defenses. Still didn't want to stick around too long, and I really hated doing those quests.
Yeah, I was like every time I saw an enemy approach them, I just, I'd get worried.
Yeah, I was not a fan of the escort quests,
Well, escort missions
unfortunately.
are in video games are often the worst.
Especially with a stupid AI controlled character that's grass type that's going to pick a fight with fire type.
All the ones that just, I don't know, keep using like Slingshot or Harden or something every time they go into a room and there's an enemy down the hallway or something like that. That happened quite a bit too for me. I'm like, please run out of that move and then, I'm not gonna replenish it for you.
So, any more thoughts about this game, or are we ready for a roundtable? This might be, end up being a very short episode. We kind of blew through all of them really fast, but
I mean, it helps that at least I haven't played the later two, so.
I mean, some of them were like, yeah, either like remakes or same plot and things like that. So it kind of
So
doesn't feel
really,
like
there's
six
just
games.
four when you get right down to it.
Yeah. Another really cool thing that I liked in the DX one that you guys didn't play was you could sometimes when you entered a floor in a dungeon, it would show you a fainted Pokemon on the floor, and if you went up to it and fed it an apple, it would stay with you, and you can kind of recruit it that way. So it's just usually random Pokemon, like a Wooper or just, I don't know, something random like that you could recruit. So that was
That's
a
cool.
nice little,
Another way
yeah,
to
nice little
nice.
thing.
And just speed him up.
Yeah, just bring extra apples. Make sure you bring extra apples and you're good, usually. Yeah.
Sweet.
I did find it particularly frustrating, at least in the first game, that habitats for some of my favorite Pokemon, like Zangoose, only showed up in post-game.
It's not post. I thought I recruited a Zangoose like
I did too. Either
before
that
that.
or it was
But it might
either
have been
that.
it might have been because some of those friend areas you can only get by completing quests. So that might have been one of them.
Okay, that might have been it then.
Since you get them kind of randomly, you aren't sure if, one of the rewards would be a friend area or just money or something.
Yeah,
I
that
have a
might have been
Zangoose.
it.
I named it Kyo because I, at least for my that second playthrough, I ended up nicknaming as many of them as I could.
I'm kind of glad that they did away with that mechanic in the future games. Was it in the remake?
Which mechanic?
Having to have the habitat to recruit certain
No, I
Pokemon?
think you still needed that.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you so in the latest one, so say you had recruited, I don't know, three Pokemon, and then if two of them you had a so it will tell you if they're in a camp or not. So at the other habitats were called camps, and if they it will say if they're not in a camp and they join you for that dungeon, if they make it out alive, so like they didn't faint and you or maybe they did and you revive them, if they came out with you at the end of the dungeon, they got to join those camps. If they didn't, or you already had duplicates of them and you didn't want them to join, you could say no and they would just give you money and go away, basically. Go their own way.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was actually still, like, to me, it was still worth keeping a few of those duplicate Pokemon around in the dungeons because they're just extra hands to help you fight. Yeah. So that was another, I guess, another point of difference as well. That was pretty interesting. But yes, you did need the camps or the habitats still to recruit them.
Was getting the habitats the same way you just bought them from the Wigglytuff?
Yeah, you just bought them. I think most of them you just bought them because I had a look yesterday and I think it was pretty easy to get most of them by post game or in post game because I don't have any more habitats now to buy. But yeah, it was just buying them from Wigglytuff.
Yeah, especially since I find money in mystery dungeon games to be a bit hard to manage.
Yeah.
Which that is why I'm surprised that I had trouble finding some of those habitats, because I think I did do a bunch of side quests to get money for that kind of stuff. So I don't know. It's been so long since I played that original game. I honestly don't remember.
I think in the original, the recruiting was also just a lot. I feel like it was a lot harder.
Yeah, I
So,
definitely got fewer Pokemon to join me. I looked at my
yeah.
save file for Explorers of Sky, and I have so many Pokemon, including some duplicates I didn't realize I had.
Yeah.
Because you can actually, like, if you recruit, you can that same Pokemon species can you can recruit them again if you want to. There's really no reason to, unless it was like a split evolution or something.
Yes, maybe in the first one. Maybe there was feedback or something, and then they just made it a little bit easier from the second one onwards. Oh, yeah, the next few games onwards. So I feel like in DX, it's fairly easy to recruit Pokemon, except these shinies, apparently.
Well, they're shiny, so that stands to reason.
Yeah.
So as far as prices go, the Mystery Dungeon series is one of the more affordable series with an asterisk. Blue Rescue Team is only like $30 on eBay. Super Mystery Dungeon, I literally just bought tonight because I realized I never bought that one physically, and I kind of collect Pokemon games anyway. I only paid $33 to get it mint in box, so, or in decent shape in the original box. But I am seeing a auction here for a cart of Explorers of the Sky that currently has 23 bids for $76.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
And that's new in box or
That's the cart.
that's just a card. Okay. Glad I got mine when I did. I might
seeing
have bought it in a, I bought it in a GameStop too. I don't remember.
seeing some of them with the box as low as $93 and as high as $209. So yeah, I'm kind of glad I bought it when I did, because man, the
My
speculative market for games has just gotten ridiculous. But if you're not a Shinx fan, let me see if I could find the other two.
I might try to maybe get my hands on a somehow get my hands on a copy one of the Explorers ones because I don't know where my DS went, but I still have my 3DS, so I think it's backwards compatible.
Oh,
Should be
yeah.
backwards compatible. Yeah. So maybe
I'm
I'll
playing.
try to get my hands on at
Yeah,
some
playing
point.
Sky on a 3DS right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm
Yeah, I
trying
might
to
do that.
find it, but eBay is being really slow for some reason tonight. But like I'm seeing an Explorers of Darkness for 50 new in box with $15 shipping. So I don't know, maybe the second game in the series kind of shot up a little bit.
Is that the one that did the best score-wise as well, or the Explorers game?
It might
Dark?
have. Oh, and of course, when I sort from lowest to highest, I get Japanese copies. But I mean, the 3DS games not so much, but the DS games you can hit the high seas pretty easily for them.
Yeah, Explorers of the Sky was the highest rated.
What was it rated?
Let's see, I was trying to pull them up. They all have aggregates around 6 or 7. And then the fans always rank them higher. Where is.
Yeah, you were talking pre-show about Gates to Infinity score on
Oh.
IGN.
Oh, okay, so actually rated pretty low. Explorers of the Sky, 54 is the aggregate. The user is 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that stands again. Sky is especially beloved by the
Beloved,
fans.
yeah, like that 580 users and a 9, that's pretty high. Even the other ones are more. I mean, the DX was user rating of an 8.
Right.
Gates to
But
Infinity was 50s and 60s.
Gates to Infinity seems to be the cheaper of the two DS ones, though even box copies I'm seeing for $40 to $50. So depends
Pokemon
on
just
what you
doesn't really
really.
go down.
I would probably skip that one just because it's kind of a mixed bag. I found it kind of hard to get into, but I say hit the highs. If you're gonna play any of these, hit the high seas for the skies. Because I think that was the best, that particular one was the best one in the series. And
You
I
could
am,
almost do a. Oh, sorry.
no, I'm just hoping for a remake at some point, keeping my fingers
Yes.
crossed. Sorry, what were you gonna say?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, it's almost like we could do a where to start sort of feature on this series, which I didn't realize because they kind of all are pretty standalone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, I think I saw, read somewhere that the later two, Gates Infinity and Super Mystery Dungeon, do imply it's the same Pokemon only world as opposed to like, a different universe each time or something. But otherwise, that they're pretty unconnected. Sometimes a Pokemon makes a cameo.
But with that being said, I think we're ready for a roundtable, unless anybody else has anything they want to contribute.
The Temporal Tower theme is really neat.
Yep.
Actually, the
Oh, how
music
many
in
floors was that thing?
Too many.
I know Sky Tower is 25 floors, so it's probably around there.
A lot. That's what it is. It's a lot.
It was 24.
Okay, so yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you're pretty, spot on there.
And it was very annoying too, because it had these Porygon that would use electrical attacks, and I was a Piplup, and that sucked.
Yes. 24 floors, 25 if you count like the pinnacle of the tower. Yeah.
Those dang Porygons always causing trouble.
Always.
Oh, why don't we take a brief musical interlude and then we can come back with the round table and throw it to some more Mystery Dungeon May. And welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are going to get into the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Roundtable. Our thoughts, our feelings, our memories. So I have to ask, what was your favorite moment from any of the games in this series?
Well, I can start. I liked the first game. I do remember the Mankey team that would build your house and how mad they were that you wouldn't give them more peeled chestnuts.
Oh,
They like,
right.
oh, they wanted those peeled chestnuts, man. And they were talking about like, yeah, I think we built enough. This is kind of boring, by the way.
And they couldn't peel it themselves because
Yes, it
they
had to be peeled chestnuts. They're very specific.
Well, Mikey don't have thumbs.
Well, those with no opposable digits is how you don't evolve.
Think it was great how much personality the Pokemon had in these games.
Oh,
You learned
definitely,
something new
yeah.
about them every time.
Just in general, that would be great.
I thought it was interesting in the Explorers games that there seemed to be a running joke that Wigglytuff was the or was just as mean as hell. And when you actually met with the Wigglytuff, it was always do your best.
Yeah, so encouraging.
But when you talked when they talked about her for or whenever they talked about her, like when she wasn't on screen, it's like that this Wigglytuff is the meanest in the bunch. She'll run you ragged and make you work extra hard in this rescue team. And she was just a big pushover. That was just all talk.
They were very friendly, but apparently they could be getting scary when they wanted to be. Because if you do the Bidoof like extra episode in Sky, like Bidoof tries to get through a dungeon. I think they get like surrounded or something, and then Wigglytuff and the other guild members come in like the cavalry. And Wigglytuff is apparently was even tough as an Igglybuff according to their standalone story. I guess my favorite would, I guess it's kind of obvious. Like at the ending, even though your character's gonna come back and they're not actually caught the distortions, just how broken up your partner is having you disappear before their eyes. It's pretty sad, pretty heartrending.
The good old Disney fake out.
My favorite or funniest moment, back in the Red Blue Rescue Teams games, do you guys remember the Diglett and
Ah, right.
how the Diglett talked about having feet? I think
And the
that blew
other
my
characters,
mind.
even the characters are just like saying feet, or they have feet. He has feet.
Yeah, because I still don't think I was trying to find clips and I could not find like I don't think Diglett had like I don't think Diglett showed their feet in the game.
No, they
So
never.
to
No,
me, it's still the
that's a
biggest
running gag.
mystery.
Yeah, that's the running gag. Like, what's underneath the Diglett? Like,
Because I think they went to the some
molehill.
tower like cliff or something as well, didn't they? They
A
went.
Skarmory kidnapped the Diglett. It's just like, how could you see it in the air when it flew
That
away?
possible?
Yeah.
I just
Like,
found that
or
so
was it
funny.
like carrying a pile of mud or something?
So I don't know. To this day, I still don't know. But yeah, I found that really funny back in the
It's
first game.
one of the great Pokemon mysteries. Like, what does Cubone's real face look like?
Yes.
Or what's the deal with Wobbuffet's tail?
Many
And
questions.
Dig would have. What do Diglett's feet look like? Of course, I had canon that Diglett just looks like a hot dog.
Tube.
Oh,
But what does he dig with?
that's a good question. I do not
Just like a
know.
worm?
Yeah.
I mean, they're able to use
Swallow the
scratch
dirt.
and slash, so presumably they have claws.
Oh, true. Oh, Diglett's such a mystery. And then
But
Dugtrio, that would be, yeah.
do we have favorite characters? As much characters as much of a character as these Pokemon games have?
I mean, these games were more, just whoever I got along the way. That's usually how I play Pokemon, other than trying to get Alakazam every time. But I have no memory of having Abracadabra or Alakazam in any of these games. And it was just, I played them like a lot of monster collecting games that I don't really have a huge investment in, at least. Just whoever I get early is probably the one staying. Even doing all those, the gym, the dojo training, it was still just to get the evolution boost to the Pokédex count more than anything, not to min-max a good team or anything. It'd be just who came along at the time.
Because I
I
hate
do.
to. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I do remember Virizion being pretty cool. I remember that one. When you were talking earlier, Elena, I believe you were talking about Virizion. I was like, oh my gosh, I specifically have really good memories of that one in the game.
Yeah, she stood out. She's like a celebrity Pokemon in the world of Pokemon.
Because I hate to be a basic bitch, but I gotta say, I think your partner character in this series is the best, just because of how nice and encouraging they are.
I like that they had their own ambitions as well, though. So, they would try to drag you along to them, but they had their own visions of how they wanted the world to be and all this sort of stuff. So it was very, yeah, a lot of personality.
They could have easily made the partner Pokemon just really annoying, and the fact that they made them just the nicest person that you kind of forget that they're on a screen because they're just your best buddy in the whole world. And I appreciate any game that makes me sort of forget that a friend character isn't real.
Yeah, they did that really well.
I'd say my favorite is Grovyle from the Explorers games. It's kind of easy to see that Grovyle is actually working on the side of good, but I just kind of like that, like the revelation that it's actually that he's doing all of this, and he knows he's going to disappear if he sets the timeline right, and he does it anyway, and he's pretty cool. And I like Grovyle in general. It's one of my favorite underappreciated Pokemon.
I think I really liked I think a Pokemon that really stood out to me was Absol, because so we're talking about, I guess, like the characterization or like the roles of the Pokemon in these games and how fitting they were. Like you had Persian with the bank. I guess you also had like some psychic Pokemon like Muna and stuff enter the dreams of like the protagonist. And Mankey and like Timber and stuff building houses. And then you've got Absol, and Absol is like the disaster Pokemon. And I thought like to have a bit of the story around that, and like how Absol provides warnings and is trying to, prevent more disasters from happening in the game, in the world. I thought that was really interesting, and it made Absol sort of stand out to me as, yeah, it became like one of my favorite Pokemon, I think, after playing Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, because I thought it was just so cool.
Absol was one of my favorite Pokemon too,
Yes.
because the idea that it's misunderstood that
Yeah. Yeah,
they
it's a
made
hard it
in the game too,
sees
I think.
disasters coming. It doesn't cause them. And it's just got such a cool
Yes.
design.
Yeah. So I really liked how they added a Pokemon like that into, like, I guess, yeah, the story arc of one of these games.
Matt, did you go?
For which one? The favorite character?
Yeah.
Yeah, I started it. The
Oh,
I
okay.
love my Abracadabra Alakazam.
My
I never
bad.
got him, so I just took who came along.
Gotcha. So do we have any associative memories with any of these games?
I do not. I do remember playing them probably either at the end of college or right after college. Again, they didn't affect me since I didn't play them as, no, definitely after college. It had to have been at least 2012 before Gates of Infinity came out, I imagine. But yeah, I don't really quite remember what was going on at that. I mean, I guess I did start that new job, but I don't really associate that with playing the Mystery Dungeon games. So yeah, maybe if I played them when I at a younger age, they made more impact. I still enjoyed them a lot, of course, just I feel like they didn't affect me as much as they did some other people.
I remember very distinctly asking when I bought this on my DS, asking the Game Boy or the GameStop employee why there was a GBA version and a DS version. And he pretty much said, well, because the GBA is still very popular. And I don't know why, I just kind of accepted that answer at that answer. Because I mean, I do believe he was correct.
Yeah, it was early enough that it was co like Nintendo considered it a third pillar because they weren't sure how well the DS would do.
And I'd be curious to see sales figures for which one did better, the DS version or the GBA version. But I remember I very distinctly remember that memory, and then yeah, basically playing that game in the break room with my boyfriend, now husband, at work pretty much every day, because that was very early DS life, and that's what it was like.
I do I mentioned it earlier, but this was definitely the first game I got for my DS, the Blue Rescue Team, and I remember pre-ordering my wife picked it up for me. I was like, "Hey, can you pick that up?" And she was like, "Seriously, you're playing a Pokemon game now?" And I was like, "What?" Like, yeah.
And there's a reason why she's an ex-wife.
That's right. She the reason why she's the ex-wife,
Oh,
but
that's
Among other things, obviously.
Oh yeah. But no, I remember, and then I do remember the so I played the first, played the second, went back and looked, and I played them right upon release and didn't touch the third one, I don't think, at all. But same as you mentioned, Kelly, like there was a sale one day. I was woke up, always looked at the 3DS store, never bought anything on the 3DS store. Until just one morning, it was, I don't know, 50% off or something. And I was like, oh, I like Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. You know, 4 years ago, why don't I try this new one? The What was the name of it? The
Super Mystery Dungeon.
Super, yeah, I was gonna say it was a good one. The Super Mystery Dungeon, and yeah, I woke up, played it for a couple hours, and tooled around. I looked at the dates that I actually played it, and it was all, like maybe 1 month way back in the day, and never touched it since. So just bored on a weekday morning, laying in bed, didn't want to get out of bed, didn't want to change the game and the thing. Might have been one of the first times I was like, oh, maybe there's something to this digital life.
Yeah, because that was definitely the type of game that I justified the $20, because it's like, well, I'll always want to play a Mystery Dungeon game.
Just have it there to click on anytime I want.
Even though I haven't touched it. It's still on my which I have 3DSs. It's still on my new 3DS XL.
I think for me, my memories definitely have memories of Pokemon Mystery Dungeon game during family gatherings. So I think we talked about, maybe it was you, Kelly, that mentioned the feature about rescuing other Pokemon teams if they were fainted in a dungeon. So my cousin was my rescuer. I think I must have had the patience of like a saint or something, because I don't know how, but I'd get myself into that situation, and I would wait till the next family gathering where I knew my cousin was coming, and I'd tell him. And yeah, so he'd get to work, he'd pull out his console, I'd pull out my console, and he'd just bail me out just like that at a family gathering. And I was just, yeah, I have really good memories of that. And I thought, wow, that's really cool that, that was a feature back then. I think nowadays, if I get stuck, I would, yeah, just soft reset. But back then, there was like that. Yeah, it was, I really appreciated that.
I was gonna say, you must visit your family a lot.
No, I don't think I did. Like, because so like extended family, I don't think so. So that's what I'm saying. I must have been really patient back. Well, this game taught me to be really patient back then, because I would not do that now. I
Well, yeah,
would
but
just soft reset. Like, I can't wait.
No, yeah.
there was no way, as a little kid, I would have been able to handle that. As little as I saw my cousins.
I don't know. Maybe I just put a break in that game, and then just sort of picked up the other Pokemon game that I was playing, and maybe just played some of that while I was waiting. I don't remember. But and it must have been a really important dungeon or something like that that I just didn't feel like I could start over again in. Yeah. So I have fond memories of that.
Well, that's awesome. You had a cousin that was able to bail you out.
Yeah, yep, legend.
Being an older Pokemon fan, unfortunately, for the longest time, I was cursed with just being a Pokemon loner until I got married. And then, even though my husband likes the series, he's not as much into it as he used to be. So.
Yeah, for the longest time, my sister was the one that would trade with me, but she just kind of fell off of it. Pokemon games after like fourth generation, although she did like buying a lot of clothes for seventh generation, but never got past like the first two gyms, maybe.
I think for me, I had, yeah, my cousin, but then for Mystery Dungeon, but then it was my brother, I think, for my younger brother for the most part. So that was, yeah, my trading partner or just someone to talk to, yap about Pokemon with, which was good. And I think, yeah, my best friend as well. But yeah, nowadays, I don't know if I, unless I, specifically ask somebody, I don't know if, yeah, have that sort of community anymore either. I think people are falling out of Pokemon, but Pokopia did bring some of it back, I suppose.
Well, I know the trading card game is still popular because I went to a Barnes and Noble today and saw a sign that said trading cards are limited to four booster packs per person.
I don't know if that's the game or people just collecting the cards there. I think
It's
it's people just
scalpers.
collecting it.
It's
Yeah.
scalp. It's mostly
Yeah,
scalpers.
it's mostly scalpers, unfortunately. People wanting to, like hoping to sell enough cards for their retirement or something.
Yeah, that's kind of called the white trash stock market when you're putting all of your stocks into collectibles, especially when those kind of collectibles don't hold their value or have really bad crashes. That being said, watching grown men getting into fistfights over Pokemon cards on the internet is still funny to me. But I do believe that is a show.
I
That makes
believe it is.
short and sweet show this week, but we was afraid that if we did all Mystery Dungeon that the Pokemon ones would just kind of take over. So next in 2 weeks we're going to be talking about other Mystery Dungeon games. That includes the mainline Shirin the Wanderer, the Chocobo, the Dragon Quest. Gosh, there's so many kind of spinoffs and even not sort of spent. I don't know if like Is Your Dreams is considered an official Mystery Dungeon or if it's just a like a weird Konami spinoff or what, but it is a varied series and we're going to talk about them as many of them as possible, and it's going to be a good time because I love me a good Mystery Dungeon.
We'll see if I remember loving them still. To
Yeah,
be seen.
I did love them so much when I was a kid, but that was because I didn't understand them. I did not have the maturity to accept that kind of loss. As an
Question is,
adult,
these days, do you have the adult patience to deal with the
it
loss?
is about the patience. Yep.
Yep.
Sometimes. That being said, thank you, Cassandra and Elena, for hanging out with us tonight.
A pleasure as always.
Thank you.
And thank you to Matt,
Excellent.
who I could not do this show without.
No problem.
And thank you, dear listener, who we do this show for. We hope you like the show. Tune in a pair of weeks for when we talk about Mystery Dungeon, the rest. And we shall catch you later. Have a good rest of your week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.